11:15 WWIB. Mabel Louise Stewart.
Good morning.
It's Thursday morning. Good
That's
morning.
That's right. Yes.
It's Maundy Thursday, right?
So, that's right.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yep.
Well, and I hope you're going to have a good Easter with your family. I know we are. And let me take this opportunity to wish you a blessed and happy Easter right where you are. Oh, it's a good time, isn't it, to attend the services. And, oh, there's so many activities around the Easter season. And wonderful to be able, I know at our church we have an early morning breakfast. And that's special because we can all eat together. That's once a year for breakfast. Well, it came early this year, but that doesn't hurt, does it? When it comes, it's so wonderful, and we can celebrate. Well, if you know and love the Lord Jesus as your personal Savior, it's good to read and reread and study again the scriptures that are centered around this crucifixion story and the resurrection. And that's exactly what I did when I prepared the message. I went from Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. You can find those in Matthew 27, Mark 15, Luke 23, and John 19. What a blessing to go from one, start out with Matthew, and go all through them and reread and study the crucifixion and resurrection of our precious Savior. I guess all I can say today is hallelujah. Praise God that I know Jesus is my Savior. I don't know what I'd do a second without him in my life to lead and guide me. And I hope that you can say the same thing. And if you can't, why don't you trust Jesus as your Savior this Easter season? What a wonderful time to really weigh over where you're going to spend eternity. Well, today I just want to visit with you concerning the two thieves that hung on the cross beside Jesus, one on either side, one on the left, one on the right. And we all know from the scriptures and actually from history that hanging on a cross was absolutely pure torture. And just for fun, I guess, a bit of history tells us that the crucifixion was in use among the Egyptians and was referred to as early as Genesis chapter 40, verse 19. Had you ever thought of that? That's how far back that was used to torture the ones that were criminals. And this particular verse, Genesis 40, 19, was where Joseph interpreted the chief baker's dream. And he said, Pharaoh will lift up your head from off you and shall hand you on a tree, and the birds will eat your flesh. So that was the first time that was listed in the scripture. It was actually a very popular means of punishment for the Greeks and also for the Romans. And by the way, did you know that a skeleton of a crucified man was found in a tomb outside of Jerusalem, and they discovered that both of his feet were still nailed together, and they could see how this particular skeleton had been through the crucifixion. Actually, the nail that was nailed through the feet, the bones, was 11 inches long and the width of a man's thumb, and it was a metal nail. Can you imagine that going through our Lord's hands and feet? And that just gives me the creeps, and I'm sure it does you also. Well, after reading each portion of Scripture, you can see that only Luke gives the details of the one thief accepting Christ as the King of the Kingdom and as Savior and Lord. Luke, you see, was a physician. And of course, he was one. Almost every doctor that I've ever known was showed details. And that's good. You wouldn't want to go to a doctor that wasn't careful about his interpretation of medicines and diagnosis and what have you. So that sort of tells us why Luke would be sensitive to the fact of history that this thief came to Jesus. And so in light of that, we can know that at first, as the three who were being crucified there, that they were railing from lips of the two thieves. And Matthew states, the people cried out, "He saved others. Let him save himself. And he trusted in God. Let him deliver him now." Then the two thieves also, which were crucified with him, it says in Matthew, cast the same in his teeth. That's verse 44. How beautiful to realize that Jesus said nothing. For you see, he was about his Father's business, and he wanted to please the Father and do his will. So he didn't answer anything. And as the result of Jesus's attitude and Jesus's action, the one thief realized who he truly was, very God, the Son of God, which he claimed to be, and the railers had accused him of boasting about it. As he watched Jesus slowly die, right then, he realized that this was the Messiah. I feel like behind the scenes, and I'm sure I always call it when I ponder in my desk, by my desk, and think about what I've read. I wonder, I don't know for sure, but I wonder if that particular thief had not heard about Jesus. Maybe he even heard him preach. Who knows? But we know that while he was hanging there, he recognized who Jesus was. And he asked Jesus, he said, "Lord, wilt thou allow me to be in the kingdom?" Let me read here. Excuse me. "And one of the malefactors which was hanged railed on him, saying, 'If you be Christ, save thyself with us.' But the other answering rebuked him, saying, 'Don't you know and fear God, seeing that thou art in the same condemnation? And we indeed justly, for we receive the due reward of our deeds. But this man hath done nothing amiss.' And he said unto Jesus, 'Lord, remember me when thou comest into thy kingdom.' And Jesus said, 'Verily I say unto thee, today thou shalt be with me in paradise.'" So let me give you some things that I thought about as I reread the story and prayed over it. First of all, we each have to come to Jesus exactly the same way as the thief on the cross. We have to know who he is, that he is God, and that he died on the cross for your sins and for mine. The thief realized that he was a sinner, and he said, "We indeed justly, for we have received the due reward of our deeds." And then he asked Jesus to save him, which every one of us must do when we accept Jesus as our Savior. And then number two, I thought about, we can certainly learn a lesson here, as Jesus said, "Today thou shalt be with me in paradise," and that the spirit does not die, but ascends to heaven to be with the Lord. I guess I can say another hallelujah right there. And then I thought about the thief on the cross was actually the very first convert. Had you thought about that? How Jesus loves the down and outers and you and me. For the disciples and the people who followed him did not have the full knowledge of the truth that he actually was very God, and that he must die for the sins of the whole world. And then another thing I thought about, the thief realized that Jesus was truly king with a kingdom, and he wanted to go there and be with Jesus. And then he truly believed that Christ could save him. There was no time for baptism, which we hear churches emphasize so strongly. There was no member of any church. There was no ritual service. There were no laws to obey because he was going to be to die and go right to paradise. All he needed to do was simply trust Jesus like a little child. And then, of course, the thief realized that he was a sinner and that he actually deserved to die. And that's another thing that has to be done before you accept Christ as Savior. Realize that you are a sinner. I shared Christ with a young person this last week, and he said to me, "Well, I'm good. I don't do anything bad like the average young person." And I was able to share with him what the Bible says over in Romans 3, "There is none righteous, no, not one." We all need Jesus. And then he was received by Jesus, and Jesus required nothing but confession and asking. That's all we need to do. Oh, you try to get it so complicated, but it's so easy. All we have to do is repent of our sins, confess that we have them, and ask Jesus to come into our life. That's what the thief on the cross did. And then Jesus could have said, "I'm not enjoying this either," but he answered in all of his hurting and all of his suffering, "Today you will be with me in paradise." Imagine, with all the weight and all of the pressure of the pain that he endured, he was still forgiving. Unbelievable. What a precious, precious Lord we love. And then our sins were nailed. Yes, they were nailed to the cross. It wasn't fair for Jesus to have to do that for us, but he willingly sacrificed his life for you and for me. The thief realized that he deserved to die. But Jesus, with his love and his compassion, said, "Come." That's a wonderful truth, isn't it? And we need to be reminded every day what a precious Savior that we have, not just at Easter, but every single day. And I just close with this illustration. The truth of this message is it's never, ever too late to ask for forgiveness and to ask Jesus to be your Lord and your Savior. Let me give you a personal illustration. We were without a pastor. Our pastor had gone to another area, and of course he was not around to do what the phone call that we received. And the phone call came into the office that someone was dying and wanted to have someone come and minister to them. So since no one was available, they asked me if I would go, and I, of course, said, of course, I'll go. And the call came from someone who was living only about 3 miles from where I live. So I called my son Gregory, and the two of us went to minister to this dear man who was dying of cancer. The family were very concerned about his spiritual life and where he would spend eternity. So Greg and I went through the scriptures with him, and he accepted Christ. And because of this portion of scripture, I can feel sure that this dear man is also with Jesus. For you see, he did the same thing as the thief on the cross. Thank the Lord for his children who were concerned about his destiny. So let me close by asking this question. Where will you spend eternity? Don't wait until just before you die. Do it now so that you can enjoy the fellowship here while you're on earth. And you can share the good news of the gospel with others. It's been so good to be with you. Bye-bye.